for safety's sake, strike the word probably from your vocabulary. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is 2008 National CFI of the Year, Max Trescott. You can find his writings and musings at maxtrescott.com. And Max, if I understand correctly, there will be a ceremony at Oshkosh this year where you ceremonially hand over the crown to somebody new.
Yes, that's going to be Arlen McMahon. She's a really fantastic CFI and very a deserved recipient.
Well, you have one of the more active blogs I've ever seen, not just in aviation, but anywhere. You put a lot of work into it, often a lot of good stuff linked from it.
And thank you.
One of your recent articles was entitled Risk Management, How the Word Probably Influences Your Decision Making. And I read it through and I really kind of appreciated where you were going with it, but it didn't necessarily get taken the same way by others who read it. Let's start with the original premise from which you started, and that is that if in your aeronautical decision making the word probably is involved, then you probably are taking a risk you should not take or rethink. Tell us, expand on that notion and what you were trying to say in the first place with this.
Sure. Yeah, the article originally got mailed out to more than 100,000 pilots with the FAA's FAA safety.gov email alert. And I was just amazed at the amount of comments that came back. And I think, by the way, part of the reason is the word probably is a little ambiguous. You know, if we were to ask 100 people, you know, if probably is somewhere between 50% and 100%, what number is it, that we probably find, you know, some folks where that number is somewhere around, you know, 50, 60, 70, others where it's 99.9999, you know, percent. So I think the word itself is probably a little problematic in terms of, you know, its usage. But my point was that we should use it really as a red flag. So anytime you're flying along and you're looking at something that you're not quite sure about, and somehow in your mind the word, you know, probably pops in where you go, this will probably work out, that ought to at least be a red flag where you should consider whether there are any more conservative options available to you at that time. So that was the whole premise. Now, I probably, using that too much, I probably misled a few readers when I said, purge the word probably from your vocabulary. That was hyperbole. That was a little extra license I took there to get people's attention. And some people kind of zeroed in on that and said, you can't purge it completely from your vocabulary, which, of course, I didn't really mean. But you know how it is. Sometimes things get taken 100% literally.
Well, let's talk about context, too, because there's a big difference between the restaurant next to the transient tie-down apron will probably be open when we get there, and we will probably have crosswinds within my ability when we get there. I mean, there clearly are a couple of different levels of probably. So
that's a great comparison, because in the first case, it probably doesn't matter. In the second case, it might.
One of the contexts in which you discussed probably in your blog post was that pilots can be lured into a false sense of security if they've performed a risky behavior successfully in the past. Now, in keeping with the context of your article, is there a point where we stop even using the word probably when we should?
You know, I think that from a risk management standpoint, there are lots of tools that, you know, people can use, and this is just one of them. And if it works for people, great. You know, they should use it. And if it doesn't, they should consider, you know, other kinds of, you know, risk management tools. So I think that, you know, in terms of using the word, you know, to the extent that it flags a situation, you know, where you, gives you pause to think about it and reevaluate whether there are other options, that's great. And if you have that quick thought and decide, no, there are no other better options, and you think that that probably number is well north of 99%, yeah, continue on and, you know, don't worry about it.
Well, you mentioned a specific circumstance, too, where you wrote, in the San Francisco Bay Area, about one half of all VMC into IMC accidents occur in the Livermore Valley, probably because a marine layer of clouds frequently obscures the mountains that rise from sea level to about 4,000 feet. And then you talk about how a common way to get through is one of these two passes. And you say, I tell pilots that if they ever approach these passes and based on visibility think they can probably make it through, they need to make a 180 and land at an alternate airport. What are some other circumstances that you have run into that you can think of in your own flying experience where you have encountered one of these probably scenarios?
It's a really good question. And by the way, I like that particular scenario simply because the the answers are not always obvious. And because I think get-home-itis really creeps in there. If when you reach that point, pilots are often just, 10 miles away from their destination airport. And if they've come hundreds of miles, well, they may be kind of feeling that internal pressure to, the first 97% of the trip went well. I'm sure the last 3% will go well as well. And yet those hills are just littered with people who had exactly the same thought. And I'm sure every single one of those people that hit the hills thought, hey, this is probably going to work out. They probably felt a little bit nervous, but thought, yeah, it'll probably work out. So anyway, that's just really a very poignant example, I think, in our particular area, since the accident rate is just so much higher than all the rest of the area. Other areas were probably, for example, I think the classic one would be folks who fly an instrument approach multiple times. The first time up didn't quite make it in, but hey, let's go back around again and try it this time. And the reasons for going around and trying it again, if, for example, you didn't necessarily fly the approach well and you ended up hundreds of feet above the MDA because of poor technique, well, yeah, maybe it does make sense to go around and try it again. On the other hand, if you arrived at minimums, you flew the approach perfectly well, well, now it's just kind of moving into a land of hope.
Yeah.
We'll just keep flying the approach until we run out of gas and probably we'll get in sometime. I think that often it makes sense just to fly it once. If you flew it once well, go someplace else. It just doesn't make sense to keep doing it over and over again, thinking, well, it'll probably work out one of these times.
This strikes me as one of those cases where I'm reminded that aeronautical decision making begins well before you get to the airport. I mean, there are, I think of some of the cases where we've heard of people who were found having failed their post-mortem toxicology test. And that they made a decision the night before that was a link in the chain of what happened the following day. And I think in a case where sometimes when people are getting into an airport that's socked in and they keep trying and trying and trying, some of that may go back to lack of preparation of an alternate or in some cases multiple alternate possibilities and having what you need to be comfortable with that decision to divert.
Right. And also, I think part of it can be just having had success in pulling that thing off in the past. I mentioned in the same article a CFI who was up in the very northern part of California. We call San Francisco Northern California, but it's really only halfway up. If you go up into the far north, there was a CFI who routinely, back about 10 years ago, would invent his own instrument approach to get into a particular airport. And he must have pulled it off dozens, if not 100 times. And, finally it got to him. So, there's a case where if people have success, if you have success scud running into your local airport, I'm thinking of Watsonville, which is right on the coast of California, has a lot of clouds. Often they're, down 700 feet or something like that. And I'm sure there are a lot of people bend the rules to kind of scoot in and out through their own local little valleys and, places like that. And if you do that successfully too many times, well, then you start to think that, oh, this will always work out. So I think anytime people start to, bend the rules and have some success at doing it, it really sets them up for failure in the future.
We need to take a break, but we'll talk more in a moment with 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott about the significance of the word probably in aeronautical decision making. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott about the word probably as a sign we're about to take an unwise risk. Now, one of your readers who responded to this blog kind of took you to task for thinking that there can ever be a sure thing. And, you know, probably is always going to come into it. And I think specifically of guys who maybe are flying, not necessarily recreationally, but, you know, taking bags of checks from town to town in the middle of the night every night, or, you know, involved in some freight haul where, you know, if there's any way to get in there, it has to be really pretty bad to call off a flight. Some of these professionals are going to have to go with probably if that's a lower percentage than you might consider the benchmark for somebody flying recreationally.
Well, it depends what the percentage is and how badly you need the job, I suppose. You know, for example, I think I was called to task because I said that, you know, you should, you know, choose a new option that you know will work out. Well, gosh, I mean, it's obvious, I think, to most people that you never know anything, you know, for certain. I mean, you and I, Paul, just don't know for sure that 24 hours now we'll still be on the planet. You know, there's just very few things that you know absolutely 100%, you know, for sure. So, you know, of course, I think they took that a little bit too literally. But I think that most recreational pilots, you know, need to realize that they're not working for the military where, you know, the objective and the mission is everything. You know, frankly, the goal has to always be to have a safe landing somewhere. You know, that's the objective. That's the mission. You know, the mission is not to arrive, you know, at XYZ airport, regardless of, you know, the circumstances. The objective is to make sure that at the end of the flight, the plane is somewhere on the ground and you were able to safely get yourself out of it. Now, plane doesn't have to necessarily be in one piece, but you know, the goal has to be for you to safely get out of the airplane somewhere at the end of the day, and it may not be at an airport. So I think people sometimes get overly goal focused because that has given them so much success in other parts of their life. You know, the type A personality grew a very large successful business by, you know, sheer brute force and will. Well, guess what? Flying sometimes cannot be subjected to brute force and will to, you know, to come around to what you want it to be. So I think it makes sense to realize that this is not a military where you absolutely, you know, have to get the job done. You know, it's a very different mission for us as recreational pilots. The job at the end of the day is to make sure that we're going to be around another day to fly and live.
Now, I guess before we leave, I'd like to have you tell our listeners where they can find these FAST team safety tips, of which this was one. This was the third in a series that you've been commissioned to write for the FAA.
Right. If you go to FAASafety.gov, and if you're not registered on that site, please go ahead and register. The big benefit to you will be that you will get emails periodically about local safety seminars in your area, and most of them are going to be within driving distance. And you'll find that these seminars are just a wealth of information. And as pilots, I think it makes sense for us to always be continually learning. So please go to FAASafety.gov. That's, of course, www.FAASafety.gov. Register. And in the wing section there, you're also going to find some of these safety tips. And you'll be getting another one in the email literally in the next day or two from me if you sign up there.
All right. You mentioned you have another one coming up in the series here fairly shortly. What's that one going to be about?
Well, we're going to dive back into the same old area again. Going to be talking about probably one more time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Max, we'll refer folks to maxtrescott.com because, as I said, it's a very interesting and active blog. And we look forward to seeing you at a couple of events this summer. And we thank you for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul. I enjoyed it and look forward to talking again soon.
Max Trescott is the 2008 National CFI of the Year. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.